The idea I love is that a story is kind of a black box. And you're going to put the reader in there. She's going to spend some time with this thing that you have made. And when she comes out, what's going to have happened to her in there is something kind of astonishing. You know, it feels like the curtain's been pulled back and she's gotten a glimpse into a deeper truth. As a story writer, that's not as easy as it sounds.
Good morning and welcome to Jonesy, the show that brings you conversations with some of the most interesting people in the world of books, podcasts, radio, theater, music, and humor, guaranteed to entertain and enlighten. I'm the host of Jonesy, Ken Jones, no relation by the way. It's been a long, hellishly hot and smoky summer here in Portland, but it looks like fall has finally arrived. Along with the rain and cooler temperatures, we look forward, as we do every year, to the big holidays, Halloween, Thanksgiving, Christmas, Sukkot, and a few cherished seasonal traditions like the annual Portland Book Festival. From its start back in 2005, when it was affectionately and somewhat short-sightedly known as Wordstock, the festival has grown into the biggest literary event in the Northwest and one of the largest in the country. In what's become another cherished annual tradition here on Jonesy, we welcome back one of our favorite guests, Festival Director Amanda Bullock, to help us navigate this year's event. Amanda also directs public programs at Literary Arts here in Portland. Please join us for our conversation with Amanda Bullock, which is already in progress. Amanda, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Ken. It's always great to talk to you.
Now, Amanda, this was a question I was debating about whether to start with, but we talked a little bit before our conversation, and I mentioned in researching the interview and looking at the schedule and the press releases and just the incredible breadth and scale of this whole thing, how do you do it?
Yeah, I mean, with a lot of help. Like, the festival's always built on a lot of partnerships and the whole staff works on it. But this is actually the 8th festival that Literary Arts has presented. So I feel like we've, like, you know, knock on wood, like, figured a lot of it out by now. And at this point, we're just tweaking and refining and always making it a little bit better. But we have a really good foundation and really great venue partners and everything.
And of course, COVID threw you kind of a curveball. It was always an in-person event, even going back pre-Literary Arts days when it was Wordstock. And a very big one. I think you had up to 10,000 visitors the year before COVID, so 2019. Now, you went all remote in November 2020, and that was even before the COVID vaccine. And you live streamed the sessions and took a hybrid approach last year with a mix of the remoting in and in-person sessions. But this year, things will be getting back to normal, kind of, sort of?
Yeah. Yeah. It's like hard to know what moment we're in, but we are fully in person this year. We are offering a few podcasts. That's the only really virtual element of the festival, and everything else is 100% in person, which I'm super excited about.
Yeah, in fact, I heard recently from Karen Russell, who I know, and she said she's not going to be at the book fair itself, as an attendee, but she did a podcast for you.
Yeah, yeah. We just, at the very table I'm sitting at now, we recorded last week and we'll be editing that. And it was a great conversation.
There should be a plaque.
Yeah. 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 She had a talk with Gabriel Kahane from Oregon Symphony about a project he has coming up. And they're both just such smart people. And they talked a lot about swaying between genres. And I think everyone's going to really enjoy it.
Now, in a recent interview, you said the Bookfest received mostly positive feedback about last year's hybrid approach with both the in-person and the remote events, and the number of attendees was limited to 3,000 total, way below the usual 10,000. Did you make any changes to this year's event in response to that feedback?
We did, actually. So I was saying earlier that we kind of refine and tweak it each year, and we do listen to what people are looking for, and, you know, you often get feedback that directly contradicts other feedback. So you can't make everybody 100% happy, but we do our best to make as many people happy as possible. And the changes you'll see this year that might not be immediately obvious are that most events actually have fewer authors on stage. So we used to, most events had three authors with the moderator. There's always exceptions. We had interviews, we had some with even more, but the majority of events now actually feature two authors with a moderator because we had introduced that format to better fit the virtual setup. And we got good feedback just about that kind of conversation style. And so, yeah, most of the festival has that format now. We do, again, have some interviews. Some books have more than one author. So it's not, we always build each event specifically for the books being featured in that event. We don't have a formula necessarily. Yeah, so we're excited about that. And then last year, we also, the virtual events we did last year were 1 week. We had one event each night. And we got really good feedback about having that whole week of events leading into the festival. And so we adjusted. We used to present a program called Lit Crawl, and we're not doing that anymore. But we've sort of transitioned Lit Crawl into this Portland Book Festival, what we're calling Portland Book Festival cover to cover program, where we have partners. The Literary Arts isn't organizing the events. We've just kind of included them in this menu of options, and different places all around the city will be presenting events as part of that program the whole week leading into and the day after the festival. And so those are kind of adaptations that came directly out of the programming that we did the last couple of years when we were forced to adapt, and we were able to keep some of the things that we liked and that we learned from that. Yeah.
And of course, the big draw of BookFest and tried and true, which you keep every year, is a chance for people to see their favorite authors and discover a few new ones. So I think over 80 authors will be appearing at this year's event. And some very familiar names such as George Saunders, Tom Perata, Andrew Sean Greer, Selma Blair, Taylor Jenkins Reid, and Renee Watson. And Renee, I know, lives in New York now, but she grew up here in Portland, and she won't be the only author representing our city in the Pacific Northwest. Mm-hmm. That group's, this is a long list, so I feel guilty if I leave anybody out, but Lydia Yuknovich, Matthew Dickman, Matt Johnson, John Raymond, Fonda Lee, Chelsea Beaker, Cecily Wong, Kimberly King Parsons, a musician, Colin Malloy of the Decemberists. He has a new horror novel out, The Stars Did Wander Darkling, which I read is set in Oregon. And that's, like I said, just a sampling. How do you go about selecting the authors and getting that right balance between the national and the local and the well-established and the newer authors?
Yeah, I mean, that's a big challenge. There's so many amazing books. And while I wish we could include every book we're excited about, then the festival would be never ending, basically. unmanageable.
That's kind of a dream. I'd love
I know.
Not for you, though. That'd be a nightmare for you. Yeah.
But it's a combination. You know, we have submissions, and so we get things that come in through our open submissions because, you know, I don't pretend I can personally be aware of every single book that's coming out every year. And really, a lot of the regionally local authors, we get to know that way. And then we also, I meet with publishers and publicists every spring and into the summer and try to learn about what's coming out that year. And because the festival is based on authors in conversation, we're really looking for books that we can pair together and thematic connections. So a lot of times it'll be like, oh, I heard about this book and then this book came in submissions and those would go really well together. So that's part of it and how we make those choices. But it's always hard. There's always like someone you really wanted to come who can't make it. And then like someone who you really wanted to fit in the program and you just like couldn't figure it out. But I think that because the festival has so many different kinds of events through the onstage events, we have the what we call the pop-up events, which are readings in the galleries at the art museum. And then we have that cover to cover program that I mentioned earlier. One of the reasons we do all that is to have like kind of multiple avenues to be able to include as many people as possible in the festival week.
Yeah, I wanted to learn a little bit more about some of the debut authors, maybe the less familiar names. And you're always, you know, we've talked several times as a preview of the festival. You're always on the ball about who we should be looking out for and trying to get to their sessions or their pop-up talks in the art museum.
Yeah, I mean, some of the folks I'm really excited about this year, you know, Tess Gunty is a finalist for the National Book Award. Her book, The Rabbit Hutch, was amazing, like from the first sentence, really loved it. And she's in two onstage events and a pop-up. So you have lots of chances to catch Tess. So I would recommend that for sure. Again, I don't want to leave anybody out. And then you mentioned Chelsea Beaker. Chelsea's in conversation with this author, Morgan Talty, who has a debut story collection called Night of the Living Res, which is from Portland's own Tin House Books. And that was another one that I really liked. It was really strong debut this year. And then what else do we
have?
And
Chelsea
did
Godshot last year, right? She was at the festival for her debut
novel.
Yeah,
she moderated last year. So this year she gets to relax and just answer questions instead of asking them. We have a debut poet, Tai Tibble, whose book Pocahontas is her American debut. It was previously published in New Zealand, where she's from. She's Maori, and it's really great. They're really, if you don't read a lot of poetry, I think they're very approachable poems because they deal, like, they take pop culture as their themes a lot, and some of them are very funny. And I'm really excited about her event too. And she's coming, you know, all the way from New Zealand, so we feel really lucky to have her in the mix.
Now, for some of the more familiar ones, the established writers, many with books published in the last few months. So at that very first session, or the first few sessions on Saturday the 5th at 10 a.m., it's like an embarrassment of riches. George Saunders in conversation with Jess Walter, who lives in Spokane in the Pacific Northwest, both masters of the short story. And in a separate session, Lydia Yuknovich, who's such an important part of our local literary community, with Joo-hae Kim for their most recent novels, Lydia's Thrust and Joo-hae Kim's Beasts of a Little Land, in conversation with Marisa Siegel. You spoke a little bit about the pairings. You look for books and authors that might have something in common. So these panels, which you've limited now to probably no more than two authors and a moderator, can get into those connections a little bit better?
Yeah, I think I liked the three people because we could bring more authors. So we do have fewer authors overall. Like, we used to have a little bit over 100 and we have 80 now to accommodate that format. But I do think it allows us to go deeper into those conversations, like you were saying. And one thing I love about the festival is that we devote an hour per session for talking about these things in a environment where so often we're rushed and we're just getting bite-sized things. It's a chance to think deeper and to spend more time in these spaces. So yeah, so I do think having the kind of smaller per event does allow for that.
Now, I just mentioned those two 10 a.m. sessions, but there's another one, and that's at the Erling Schnitzer Concert Hall at the very same time with Selma Blair. So she's a well-known actress and author of a new memoir called Mean Baby. She'll be talking with Esme Wei-Jun Wang, author of an essay collection, The Collected Schizophrenias. That's also a BookFest tradition, having to make that difficult choice between sessions. will any of them be recorded for later viewing, or we're just going to have to choose?
You'll have to choose. We do audio record everything for potential later broadcast on our radio show, which is on OPB every day. I wish. No, I don't wish. Which is on OPB every week on Sundays at 7. And of course, wherever you get your podcast. So if you do miss something, there's a chance that you'll be able to catch it later on OPB.
Amanda, can you talk about those two sessions at the Schnitzer this year? The one we mentioned with Selma Blair. And there's also one at noon with Taylor Jenkins Reid and Cheryl Strayed, a very well-known Portland author. These require an extra ticket in addition to the festival pass?
They do. So the Schnitz is huge. And so a lot of that is just for crowd control. We don't want 5,000 people lined up for a 3,000-person venue, and then people are disappointed. And so we've kind of adjusted the way the Schnitz works each year. And I think we have a really good system this year. So you can get, if you purchase a ticket that includes a book, which is just the price of the book, you get a really great seat in the front of the hall, and you get a signed book when you come in at the Schnitzer. And those are available now. And then you can also get, if you don't want a book, we have $5 tickets available for seats that are farther back in the hall, but still great seats. And this year, all of the seats are assigned. So
you're guaranteed to get in and get, you don't have to arrive there early and stand in line.
Exactly. You still have to arrive a little early because we still have to get 1,000 people into the venue, right. And you don't want to miss anything. So don't get there at start time, but you can get there, you know, half an hour early. You don't have to line up. You know exactly kind of where you're going to be sitting, and you know what the expectations are, and you know that you're going to get in. And so we really recommend getting those tickets ahead of time, and get your festival pass ahead of time too. Not only does it help you plan, And it's only $15 on the day of. It's going to go up to $25. And we also will have an advanced box office open down at Portland 5. And so the whole week leading, well, Tuesday to Thursday leading into the festival, you can go pick up your wristband and then you can just totally skip the box office day of and jump right into all of the wonderful things that are happening without having to wait.
And we should mention that Festival Pass also includes a voucher for buying a book at the festival if you'd like.
Yeah. So all paid passes. So youth get in free, anyone 17 and under and or with high school ID. And then we have a couple other discounted options like Arts for All and for veterans and active duty military. But a full price ticket includes a $5 voucher you can spend anywhere in the wonderful book fair we have at the Art Museum or at any of the festival specific bookstores that day. So if you spend your voucher, your pass was actually only $10.
Now, you mentioned the pop-up readings as a way of getting more authors involved in the festival. On this show, I've recently talked to three who will be there, Liz Prado, Neil Cochran, and Kai Emmons. Now, when I was talking to Neil, I asked him how he chose his artwork. What they do is they read in front of an artwork, piece of art, in the galleries of the Portland Art Museum. And he said it was chosen for him. So how do you do that? Do you do the choosing? And of course, there must be some connection between the book itself and the artwork.
Yeah, my colleague Liz Olofsson does all the pop-ups and she's been doing them since 2016 and she does a really amazing job. So she works really closely with the museum to figure out what's going to be on display at the time of the festival. And then we do try to pair the themes of the book with the themes of the art. And it's really fun. And the pop-ups are, they're pretty lo-fi. There's no like mics or seats or anything like that. If you need a seat, we'll of course find you a seat. And they're about 15 minutes. Most authors read from their work, but sometimes authors will read something different or they'll do a Q&A or we've had people draw before. And so they're really dynamic. And I think something that really makes our festival stand out too, we really wanted to emphasize the fact that we are in an art museum because it's such a cool location for a book festival. And so the pop-ups are a way to kind of tie those different artistic practices together. And for attendees, you can definitely, there's a schedule, you can plan, you can decide like, oh, I don't want to miss Neil's pop-up. I'm definitely going to be there. But your festival pass also actually includes admission to the art museum. So if you're just walking around the art museum, you might bump into a poet and your day will be all the better for it.
I got to say, Neil, even though he didn't choose his artwork, he said it was just perfect for his book. Mm-hmm. He was really happy with the selection.
Yeah. Liz, huge shout out to Liz. She does a great job with it. So
now you mentioned Cover to Cover, which is this kind of week long lineup of different sessions going from before the festival, Tuesday, November 1st, to a day after the festival, Sunday the 6th. So before, during, and after. And the lineup's just incredible. I just wanted to give listeners a few that caught my eye. One was a book launch. And there were different venues, as you mentioned, also mm-hmm. across the city. One's at Third Eye Books, which is in Northeast Portland, and that's for a book called A Peculiar Paradise, A History of Black in Oregon, 1788 to 1940. There's also a Catherine Dunn tribute. She was the author of Geek Love and a prominent Portland resident for many years. She passed away. That tribute's with Naomi Huffman and Lydia Kiesling, and that's at Powell's Books. There's a poetry karaoke, a poetry speed dating. Maybe the poet you bumped into in the gallery. That'd be perfect. Backfence storytelling on the topic of bad dates in case mm-hmm. the poet is really not up to snuff.
Yeah.
An evening.
It's a journey.
Yes. Boy, that poor poet. An evening with corporeal writing and autofocus lit. And that's Lydia Yuknovich's organization, Corporeal Writing. And even a comedy night. Kickstand Comedy is doing something called Lit Mondo, which takes place at the Honey Latte Cafe in Southeast Portland. Do you know anything about what Lit Mondo is?
Actually, I don't know a ton about it, actually. My impression, and I could be wrong, is that they kind of combine like improv comedy with the like kind of plots and themes of the books because they try to feature some of the authors that are in the festival. but I haven't brushed up on it in a minute, so I'll have to look.
I'm going to try to make that because I'm a big fan of reading books and comedy, so it's good.
Yeah,
I kind of smooshed them together.
Yeah, poetry karaoke is always a hit too. And there's a cover to cover for kids too with Emily Arrow, who hosts the picture book stage. She's also doing a cover to cover event, so there's all ages, which is also really fun. One of the high schools has a romance book club, and they're doing like a roundtable event as part of cover to cover too. So I'm excited about that.
Oh, just the genre?
Yeah, yeah. It's a bunch of high schoolers reading romance books, which I love. Yeah, at Lincoln.
Now, in early press about the festival, there seemed to be some news about another new addition. It was adding a music stage in partnership with PDX Jazz. Did that make the final schedule?
Yeah, yeah. We're still finalizing exactly who will be there. But in the upper sculpture garden, we call things like their official names. But the space between the two art museum buildings, we're putting up a tent there. And then PDX Jazz has programmed a few bands for all afternoon. And we also actually have confirmed that Multnomah Whiskey Library will be setting up a bar there. So it's going to be a whiskey and jazz lounge, 21 and up, of course. And that'll be available, again, all afternoon if you want to take a break from all the bookish stuff. We'll have a bunch of food carts out so you could get some food from the carts, go get your cocktail or your mocktail or whatever floats your boat, and enjoy some music. And I'm really excited about the collaboration.
And there's usually a beer garden there too, right? In addition to the whiskey bar.
Yeah, there has been in the past, but it turns out it's like kind of cold in November. So we think that the whiskey might be a little more warming than a cold beer.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. When you're planning the festival in August, you're like, oh, beer sounds good. And like today, you're like, oh, maybe like a hot toddy.
Yeah. Now, another new addition that I definitely found on the schedule is something called Friday Night Book Market.
Yeah.
That's the, of course, Friday before the festival, the one day event. But there's also an exhibitor's fair on the day of the festival where people usually buy books and sometimes meet authors. Mm-hmm. Why did you add the Friday night event?
Yeah, I forgot to mention that as a kind of thing we tried to keep from last year. And so, like you mentioned, the in-person festival last year was intentionally much smaller than it typically is. And we heard back from attendees who are at the in-person festival that they especially appreciated having more space in the book fair to shop and to meet the vendors. And we heard from the vendors too, that they liked actually having more space and being able to talk to more people. And we were like, well, we have to have more people come to the festival. We can't keep the cap so low. So like, how do we keep this aspect of it? And so we introduced this Friday night event. So from 6 to 8, you can basically shop the book fair early. And some of the booths have like signings going on at the booths, and they have additional things. We have DJ Jimbo is going to be spinning some tunes.
I know him. Yes, yeah. It's great.
And we have down on festival day, we're going to have some craft activities in the kids stage, and we'll have the origami and some other stuff down there. So I've been joking, like, if you don't want to be awkward about like having to elbow children away to do your origami, then you can do it on Friday night. And it's also a great chance, like if you know that you're going to buy a bunch of books on Saturday, you can go ahead and buy them Friday night. You don't have to lug them around. Powell's bookstore is going to be there. And then we'll have book plates. So you can still get signatures from the authors and put them in your books, but then you don't have to carry them around all day. So I think it'll be a really nice, it's capped at 500. So it's a much smaller crowd. And I think it'll just be a really nice moment and a way to open the festival.
In fact, I remember last year there were some books when I started shopping at the near the end of the festival, so late in the afternoon, there were some that were already gone, out of stock.
Yeah. So if you come get them Friday, yes, you know you're going to get what you want. Yeah.
Now, we should also talk about the exhibitor fair. So this is Saturday the 5th. And did you want to mention a few of the publishers and organizations who will be there? And we already talked about the book voucher for people who paid for admission. They get an extra voucher there for buying whatever book they'd like.
Yeah, the book fair is really fun. So this year we have a few kids exhibitors down in the Fields Ballroom, which is on the first floor of that building in the Portland Art Museum. And so Green Bean and a few folks will be down there. And then the third floor is just the whole ballroom is all filled with exhibitors from near and far. You know, we have folks like Book Forum who come in from New York and from farther afield. And it's also just a really great just way to get to know like the regional publishing and general book nerdery scene. There's the Northwest Review, which has revived recently. There's of course Tin House Books, which I mentioned before, which is a local publisher who is just doing amazing stuff. We have a couple of their books in the festival. There's also a bunch of MFA programs and writing non-MFA writing organizations like Corporeal Writing. It's a great place to learn about what's available around town, both for readers and for writers.
And now in the past, it also was a great place to meet some of the authors and get books signed. Well, I know that was limited during the pandemic. Are we back to that, though? Will there be some book signings where you can go up and say hello to the author?
Yeah, so every festival stage has a bookstore connected to it. And so a lot of the bookstores are stage side. And then two of the stages, the stage out on the park, and then the Miller, which is inside the same building as the book fair, the signings are up at the book fair. So there are a couple there. But wherever you are, there should be, as close as possible, a bookstore and a signing available. There's a couple authors who aren't doing signings. It's just the Schnitzer ones because those books are pre-signed. As far as I know at this point, everybody else is doing a book signing. And so you can definitely meet the authors and buy their books. And we do encourage you to buy books at the festival. It supports both the authors and the festival itself. It's super important for the future of the festival. But yeah, it can be... It's a really nice moment to get to meet authors. It's so nice to just tell someone too, like, I loved your book. Who doesn't like to hear that?
I know. It's nice for the reader and the author.
Yeah. And you know, it's in November. It's a good time to start your holiday shopping too.
Oh, perfect time. A little whiskey and bring your holiday list.
Shopping list. Yeah. Have a couple whiskeys. Get in the book fair with your voucher. You'll be good to go.
I just wanted to mention some of your bookstore partners. There's Powell's, Broadway Books, Annie Bloom's, and Green Bean Books. And as you said, buying books for them not only helps support them, and boy, they have not had an easy go of it during the pandemic. But as you mentioned, Amanda, it also helps support the festival itself.
Yeah, buying books is really important for the festival. It's what, you know, the authors are there to meet people, but they're also like there to sell their books. So if you see something you like, definitely pick up the book at the festival from our independent book selling partners.
Now, you talked a little bit about this before, but there's always something for every age group. Mm-hmm. So that goes, we talk mostly about adult books or books for adult readers. I was wondering a little bit more what's on tap for kids. Middle grade now is a whole genre of books. Renee Watson, in fact, her latest is considered middle grade fiction. And young adults, so high school students, you know, very big and important group of readers.
Definitely. So we have our kids stage, which kids stage covers picture book through middle grade, and it ages up as the day goes on. So we start with picture books, and then in the afternoon, we have middle grade events. We're in a much bigger stage this year at that Fields Ballroom at Portland Art Museum. It's big enough that we have the stage and we have some vendors and the bookstore all in this one room. And so all morning, we have picture book story times for kids, with led by Emily Arrow, who's been hosting that stage since we started in 2015. She's wonderful. She plays the ukulele and she writes songs based on picture books. It's really, even if you don't have kids, like, it's a really fun, like, joyful place to stop during the festival. And we also have some craft stations set up. So a bunch of the authors have like really cute crafts associated with their books. There's a great book called Friends Are Friends Forever by Oregon author Dane Liu that has this great snowflake activity in the back. And so there's also some times for kids to like kind of do some other stuff that's not just like sitting and listening to the story times. So it's a really family-friendly stage. And then once the picture book story times have concluded with Ben Clanton and Tater Tales, the greatest in the world, final story time. We have a really great event with Scholastic called Graphics Con. You know, graphic novels are especially big for that middle grade group. And we have some really, really amazing middle grade graphic novelists who will be in conversation. And then we have a couple middle grade events on that stage. And then the final middle grade event is with Kwame Alexander, who is a huge star. You know, a lot of people have like grown up with his books. And so he's actually at the First Congregational United Church of Christ to make sure we have a big enough stage for all of his fans. And his new book is the first in a trilogy that is going to be, I think, really important and really reached a lot of people. And so we're excited about that. And then the young adult stage, and of course, lots of people read young adult, teens and teens at heart. And so that's at the old church again, which is where it's been for, I think, since 2016. And we have four events there featuring some amazing authors, some great local authors like April Henry and PC and Kristen Cast and Aaron Duran, as well as some folks coming from farther away. And then we have one YA event that's not on that stage. That's also in that final hour with Casey McQuiston. Their new book is called I Kissed Char Wheeler. It's great. And local author, she's up in Vancouver, Emiko Jean. And that should be a really fun event, whether you read YA or not. I definitely recommend that one. It's going to be really fun. So we're really excited to have this lineup where we have the dedicated stages for those audience and then these kind of like bigger events where we can widen the audience a little bit.
And as if all that's not enough, you'll also be hosting writing classes at the festival?
Yeah, we have a couple leading in. Both, there are some online writing classes actually and some in-person writing classes as well as the day after the festival. So you don't have to miss any festival things. And then for kids on festival day, we do have some free workshops for youth, middle grade and high school aged youth. And you do have to pre-register for those. So you'll want to make sure you go to literary-arts.org to find out more about that.
In addition to the work you do, which I think is a full-time job in and of itself for the book festival every year, you're also director of public programs at Literary Arts. And Literary Arts, as we mentioned, took over the festival management about 8 years ago, changing the name from Wordstot, thank God, and going to a one-day event centered around the Art Museum in Portland. And in all our conversations over the years, Amanda, I never asked you how you came to Literary Arts.
Oh, yeah. I just appeared one day.
That way. like out of a magic lamp.
Yeah. Well, I used to run events at a nonprofit bookstore in New York City. And I moved here when Literary Arts posted the job to manage the festival relaunch. So in New York, I had done an event called the Moby Dick Marathon. We did not run. We read Moby Dick. Someone was like, how far is that to run to Nantucket? We were like, longer than 26 miles. So I had done that. And this event called the Downtown Literary Festival that was based in a couple bookstores and had really enjoyed kind of working on these larger scale events. And so I was attracted to the festival job here. And I moved out here in 2015. And it's 2022, and I'm still here.
Do you miss New York?
I do. I get to go back for work, though, and I'm really happy to be in Portland. Definitely feel really grateful that I was able to find a place here. And Literary Arts is a great organization. It's awesome working for a literary organization that does so much stuff. You know, I work on three programs, and then we have so many programs that I don't even directly work on that I'm really proud to be a small part of.
Yeah, I want to mention a few. They're a nonprofit organization, Literary Arts, but they have some incredible programs here in Portland. There's most listeners, I think, will know Portland Arts and Lectures, which brings some very famous writers and public figures to town, usually at the Schnitzer. Writing classes outside of the book festival, that continues. I took a few of the Delve series of reader seminars and absolutely loved it. I'm a big Thomas Pynchon fan.
And nice.
There's an incredible teacher there. He taught Gravity's Rainbow, Mason and Dixon, and Against the Day, which are three nice. Of the toughest, longest Pynchon novels. So it was good to
have support.
No pun intended, but delve into them with a very knowledgeable teacher and other very excited and interested readers and very smart ones.
Yeah, we say they're like a mix between, they're like not quite as intense as a college class, but they're a little more serious than most book clubs, I think. So it's a good, if you're like an adult and you kind of miss going to college and learning about books, I think, but you want wine also, like it's a good spot.
Right, you don't miss the exams or the studying, well, other than reading the book.
Yeah, no tests. Right. You don't have to write a paper.
No tests. And you also have Writers in Schools, Slam Poetry. And then, as you mentioned, you have radio shows and podcasts like The Archive Project.
Yeah, and the Oregon Book Awards and fellowships. So there's a lot going on. And you'll see all of those programs present within the festival. We have Oregon Book Award winners and finalists, and we have fellowship recipients who are all featured in the festival. And then our youth programs, we actually launch the Writers in the Schools student anthology every year at the festival. And so I think it's about 1:30. And so that's a great time to hear from the young people of Portland. It's a really fun event. And then we have those classes for youth as well. And we record everything for the Archive Project. project. You'll see some faces you've seen at Portland Arts and Lectures. George Saunders and Reza Aslan have both done PAL before. And so you really, it's this kind of one day manifestation of like all literary arts does, and in some bite-sized chunks, but it's a good way to get to know us too.
And as in the name Archive, it goes back a ways. There was one I listened to a few months ago, which I absolutely love, with Elaine May.
Yeah, that one's so fun.
She started as a comedian, paired up with Mike Nichols, and then also became a screenwriter, director, actress. She is so funny. And it was just incredible that these people are coming to Portland. You've got it all recorded, and it's all available for you on the Archive Project podcast.
Yeah, we're lucky that folks before, you know, Julie Mancini led the organization for a long time, and folks like Julie who had enough foresight to just record everything, because once the radio show started, we have this great treasure trove that we're still digging through and finding great stuff.
Yeah, thank you, so, Julie.
Thank you, Julie, for sure.
Now, before we go, Amanda, how can people find out more about the Portland Book Festival and events like Cover to Cover, which is new this year, and buy tickets if they're planning to attend the festival and these separately ticketed events, which just require a little extra payment for the book?
Yeah. So Cover to Cover events are a mix of ticketed and free, but you can find out more about everything at literary-arts.org. And then on all the social medias we're on, we're at Literary Arts, and it's hashtag PDX Book Fest, and you'll be able to see more there. We have a really nice, I'm looking at it now as my cheat sheet, but we have a really nice like grid of the schedule, so you can kind of see the whole day laid out for the
stages. I've got it printed out here, yes.
Yeah. And the website is also the best place to go for any updates to any of the events as well. And you can get your passes there. We have a what we're calling an umbrella pass, which includes your festival pass, both of the Schnitzer events with books, and the Friday night book market. So if you know you want to do all that, I would grab an umbrella pass.
And last year, we recommended that people get their passes early because, again, you limited attendees to 3,000 other than the usual 10,000 plus. Is that the same this year, or will you be increasing that limit?
We are capped at 8,000 this year.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. And I think just like it is a lot easier to pick up your pass in advance and skip that box office. So I would really recommend buying everything ahead of time, picking up your wristband if you can. Of course, if you could only make it day of, because so many people picked theirs up in advance, the box office lines will be short. But it just, and it's $10 cheaper. So why not save 10 bucks that you can then spend on books in the book fair?
Right. Well, Amanda, again, thanks so much for joining us today and for all you do, which is incredible, an awful lot for readers and writers here in Portland and the whole Pacific
Northwest. Right back
Northwest.
At you, Ken. Thank you for all you do. Really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you. Mutual Admiration Society. Thanks, Amanda.
Thank you.
Well, that's all for this episode of Jonesy here on KABU Community Radio. If you missed any part of the show, would like to hear the longer, unexpurgated version, the director's cut, you might call it if we had a director, you could listen anytime on demand at kboo.fm/program/Jonesy, J-O-N-E-S-Y, or just search for it on the KABU website. Before we head out the door, a big thank you to our guest today, Amanda Bullock, Director of Public Programs at Literary Arts here in Portland and Director of the annual Portland Book Festival. You can find out more about the upcoming festival and get your passes, if you like, online at literary-arts.org. Just a note that KABU is your community radio station, and we get over 80% of our funding from our members. To support the station and programming like this, there's no better time to become a member yourself or renew your membership. Just go to kboo.fm and click on the big donate button. All of us here at the station, even Jonesy himself, thank you for that. Jonesy, by the way, comes to you every other week on the second and fourth Thursdays of the month from 11 to 11:30 a.m. Tune in for our next show on Thursday, November 10th at 11 a.m. I'm your host, Ken Jones, no relation, saying hope to see you all at the Portland Book Festival on November 5th.